Well, for those that were here last week, you might have been wondering where I was. I was actually, and I think I actually said it 2 weeks ago, but in case I didn't, Ted Griswold, the other priest that we're blessed to have around here, and I were both invited to go up to North Carolina and meet three bishops that have been consecrated. These are suffragan bishops, which is an Episcopal Anglican way of saying that they're assisting bishops, to our archbishops in Uganda and in Kenya. And these three American priests have now been consecrated bishops to aid us to be here in the United States and to begin to give more closer pastoral oversight to us. This is not, does not mean we're an American Anglican church now, but steps are being taken. We're moving in that direction. And I am pleased to report that the time we spent with them was amazing. We had Bible study with these bishops. Imagine that, bishops leading Bible studies and talking about prayer life and inner life and things that are obstacles to ministry. And it was just an amazing 2 days. Ted and I were just walking around with our mouths open like that most of the time, going, "Wow, this is new and different." So I'm pleased to tell you about that. And what's going to happen is that probably for the rest of this year especially, there's going to be very little you'll see of those guys. But hopefully as 2008 rolls around, we'll begin to get you to know them more closely, and God will begin to use their ministry among us, as well as, of course, James O'Shiel in Kenya. So lots going on. I've had little birds reporting to me about James Manley's sermon last week, and I know that he has lifted up a high standard of things that I'm to talk about. The buzzword was basically, I'm sure Alex will get to that. I'm sure Alex will explain that. I'm looking forward to hearing what Alex says about that. So we're gonna get into that. And I do think this is a season of examining and really praying that God would unleash spiritual gifts in our congregation. Scripture's clear that we're all given spiritual gifts. Going to get into that in a minute, but that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1 that we're not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. He says, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Know about them. And I do think it's important, and really, in a way, me having James preach last week was like a living illustration for that. Because in the 5 years that I've been ministering to this community, I've come to recognize that James has a spiritual gift of teaching. So I don't know if that was one of the ones he was able to give you any detail on, but I can tell you that what I've learned is that if we don't, in humility, begin to invite and call out and encourage and celebrate the gifts that God has given to others, we really impoverish the body of Christ. We really do. And so it would be criminal for me not to let James preach from time to time. And I know he did a great job on an Anglican class he did earlier. What is Anglicanism? If you didn't get to catch that one, we're going to try to offer that every few months so that people can really get a chance to understand what the Anglican Church is about. And it'll be helpful as we move forward into this new Anglican identity we've got. Well, you know, there are planes that hover just hundreds of feet above the surface. And that's the sort of sermon like last week where James is showing you specific gifts. I want to climb a little bit. I want to get up a little bit higher than that. And I want to give you tonight a little larger, broader perspective on why it's important that we look at the spiritual gifts. So I want to maybe climb to 10,000 feet. Ward Kroll told me that planes can fly up to 40,000 feet. I don't want to go to 40,000 feet, but I'd like at least to get up to maybe 10,000 feet and help us consider why this is a good time for us to be looking at spiritual gifts. Let me tell you that one of the things that your vestry, the leadership of the church, has been prayerfully moving towards over the last year is a realization that we have not encouraged enough that ministry, gift-based ministry, be released. In other words, people doing generic work in the church, because that's the work that needs to be done, without any recognition of where someone who's really gifted in this area should be doing that, and somebody who's really gifted in this area should be doing this. And where do we need to work together because of the mutual gifts? that we have. But to back up for a second, and we're going to look at the Romans passage to sort of be a basis for that. And so have that in your mind as we go through here. Paul says in Romans 12, this well-known passage, where we're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are to not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and discern what is the good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Now, that's a pretty lofty goal, and one that's put up before us as Christians a lot, that we learn to be this living sacrifice, that we not conform, but be transformed. But look at what Paul does right after he says those two verses. He immediately gets into a discussion of the gifts and the body of Christ, that is, the members of the body of Christ, and our mutual need for each other. For with the grace given to me, Paul says, that's Paul's nice way of saying, I'm an apostle, listen to me. Do not think yourself, or one among you must not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Have sober judgment. You're pursuing this ideal of laying your life down as a living sacrifice, of being transformed, but have a sober judgment of yourself. Take an examination of yourself. And be aware, then Paul is going to say next, be aware that you are one member of the body of Christ. And then he gets into, in this particular section, talking about specific spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are found in a few places in the Scriptures. They're found in Ephesians 4. They're found in Romans 12. They're found in 1 Corinthians 12. That's kind of nice because Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, you can kind of keep up because it's the same number. Also, some famous quarterbacks, number 12. So you can keep up with it that way, too, if it'll help you. A few other places that spiritual gifts are mentioned, but those are the big ones. But I don't know about you, but I've been through times where I've had sermons and teachings on spiritual gifts, and we gave you a little survey to take out. And maybe you've got that survey, and maybe you've done those before, and you recognized a couple of areas that, okay, might be my spiritual gifts. I might be have the gift of mercy, or I might have the gift of teaching, or I might have the gift of encouragement. But what do I do with that? And that's always been my experience. It's why it's taken me 5 years, really, to sort of tackle this, is because I've been through those sorts of teachings, and it's sort of like, at the end of the time, you go, so what? Let's take a sober judgment of ourselves, though. Let's back up and not think too highly of ourselves. Let's consider what the Lord might be doing, and just want to share with you what He's begun to reveal to me over these last few months. First of all, back all the way up to the person you were created to be. Unique personality that you are. Introvert, extrovert, task-oriented, people-oriented, big-picture people, detail people. God has made you a unique person. He's given you temperament and personality that matches you. And if you're successful in whatever you do as a job, it's probably because you've found or someone's helped you find where you can do and your personality type can excel in that career. But that's not the only reason why you have a temperament and a personality and you're unique. There's also a purpose in God for you to be unique. God has created you to be that way. Now, the Scripture, I can't take you to anywhere where Scripture says, and some of them were extroverts and some of them were introverts. Now, that's because it's so simple. I mean, who needs to even point it out, you know? I mean, Paul and Barnabas, very different personalities if you know the New Testament. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, quiet behind the scenes, goes and finds Paul, puts Paul up in the front of the circle. He's the one that wants to care for John Mark, young disciple that runs away from Paul. Paul wants nothing to do with him. Paul, type A personality, right? Upfront guy, trailblazer, very much an entrepreneurial kind of a guy. Doesn't want to build on anyone else's foundation. He's going to do his own thing. He's going to go to Spain and then wherever else. Very different personalities. Think about the Apostle John, the Apostle Peter. Peter, always opening his mouth, always rushing into things, always the first to speak, speaking for the group, always getting into trouble because of how quickly he is to move forward. John, very, very different. John doesn't even write down his gospel until he's very, very old. He has to process it. He has to think through what it is he wants to say. Very different personality type. And you see these all the way through. The gospels, for instance, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is structured. Mark is to the point, very brief. John is very philosophical. Luke is very detailed. Luke says, I decided to write a orderly account of what has happened. Well, he's making a comment about not only his temperament and personality, but also that of the other three gospel writers. God has made us as with individual personalities and temperaments. He's given us talents. I've said to you guys before, used to do when I was little, and at home, my mom would always remind me to use inside voice, and we couldn't figure out why I had such a big mouth. Well, now we know. Right? Had lots of opportunities to preach in open places or to speak to youth groups, and you got hundreds of people and no microphone, and praise God that who the person God made me, I can use that voice. My mom no longer lives with me, so I'm not as much of a nuisance to her. Into that person that you are and I am, we're then told in Scripture, and this is where the spiritual gifts come in, we're told that the spiritual gifts are given at the time of new birth. When we follow, when we accept Jesus Christ, when we become a new creature in Christ, there is a Holy Spirit deposit that's made in us. And just like we're made unique individuals, personalities, temperaments, so the gifts are unique. And they're not limitless. So, I mean, there's probably somebody with a personality very close to yours, and there's probably people with a gift very close to yours. But the gift mix is probably fairly unique. And I don't know what those are. Maybe you don't know what those are. If you're a new Christian, probably you maybe not even heard that much about them. But let me tell you, they can be extremely powerful in our lives. Just one example. A guy, member of this congregation, traveling. He's up in another country, and he is eating dinner with a person who is told him he's a communist, that he's an atheist, that he does not believe in God at all. My friend, not given to this very often, but looks at this guy and says, God is telling me that you need some money, like $2,000, and you need it pretty bad. This guy is like shocked, you know. But has to admit, yeah, I'm out of work for the summer, and that's the amount of my rent to the dollar. And I don't know where that money's going to come from. So my friend gives him that money. Now, that is a very powerful spiritual gift. It's called the gift of prophecy. It's the ability or a word of knowledge to be able to say something into somebody's life that otherwise you would not know. Doesn't happen every day. Occasionally does. Gifts of mercy. Gifts of evangelism. You ever notice how some people can just share about Jesus and people just seem to come to Christ, and others of us seem like we work and we work and we work? Maybe there's a gift of evangelism there. Gift of helps. Gift of administration. Now, these are not just talents that we're given. We all can develop and learn skills, some of us better than others. I do not have the gift of administration. I think we can all agree with that. However, I've learned over 40 years to be somewhat administrative. I can lead a meeting if I need to. But it's not a spiritual impartation. It's not a gift that I've been given. But I've been given other gifts. And you've been given gifts. But then what do we do with those gifts? Well, just as I believe that we're given those gifts, and we're going to come back to those. This is not the only time we're going to talk about them. But just as we're given those gifts, like we're given our personality and our temperament, I believe God also gives us a calling. Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Now, you could say, well, that's just a generic calling. We're called to make disciples. We're called to love, as you know, love the Lord our God. And you're right, we are. But does it seem to match up that if we have a God who creates specific, unique people, and then He gives them specific gift sets, spiritual gift sets, that He would turn around and ask them to all do the generic same thing? I don't think so. And it seems to me, as it does to Paul in Ephesians 4, when he says, live a life worthy of your calling, that we need to find, each of us, the calling that is on our lives as pertains to the body of Christ. In other words, what is it uniquely that God has called you to do? Now, I'm not talking about a career goal. I'm not talking about how much money or where you want to live when you retire. I'm talking about something much more deep and centered in who you are. What some people would call passion. Maybe it's a passion for people. Maybe there are people, particular people, that you want to make a difference in their lives. Maybe there are people in a crowd that you're drawn to. Maybe there's some segment of the population that you just really are concerned about. Maybe there's some function. Maybe there's something when you're doing this thing that you just feel God's pleasure. Like Paul Little, right? The runner who said, you know, Chariots of Fire said, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. Well, he was created, at least in part, to be that runner, to be one who a movie could be made of and who could be an inspiration to Christians all over the world. Maybe it's a ministry you feel engaged to, a place or a way you spend your time without compensation very freely. Maybe it's a cause, something you can't help telling others about. Maybe it's something that you tend to talk about constantly, even if you're an introvert. If you get on this subject, or you go to seminars, or you want to learn more about. I would suggest to you that what I'm beginning to learn is that each of us has a calling or a passion on our lives. Now, what happened to kind of bring this, to illustrate this in my life, was we had the vestry and their spouses, if they were willing, to go through a weekend a few weeks ago, and we actually looked at our temperament, our passions, and our spiritual gifts. And as we began to look at those three things together, they became almost signposts or arrows pointing to something and beginning to help people bring into focus why it might be that God has given them the gifts He's given. In other words, by looking at what you're created for, you begin to recognize the gifts that you've been given, or maybe the gifts that you need, maybe the gifts that somebody else has to help you accomplish that. And I thought I had the sheet. Yes, I do. Let me just in a generic way, not naming any names, let me share with you, because it was so eye-opening, as I began to hear the passion, the calling of people that are your leaders, my leaders. People with a passion to pray and to intercede for other people. People with a passion to teach, to disciple, to help people discern their calling. That was a helpful one. People with a passion for building community, for transforming communities by keeping children who are at risk safe. People who have a deep passion and a calling for people who've been hurt and turned off to the church. You know, just neat stuff. Passion for organizing and making things efficient. Person I love very much, by the way. People with a passion for the homeless and the disenfranchised, the overlooked in our society. people concerned for the poor and for helping people find the truth of Jesus Christ. Passion for connecting others to God through a life of serving and sharing. Passion for people who are in need. Passion for peacekeeping. Passion for hospitality. And on and on. And let me tell you guys, when I heard these passions, it began to bring all the talk of spiritual gifts into focus for me. Because if you can begin, and I can begin to really say, what is it uniquely that I'm called to do in the body of Christ, then all of a sudden, those spiritual gifts and this personality that God's given me, they go someplace. They lead someplace. They're there for a purpose. One of the things that God has been showing me is that one of my spiritual gifts is, well, I don't have a name for it yet, but it's a connecting spiritual gift, okay? Bringing people together. I don't mean like gathering them in a big room like tonight, obviously. There'd be 5,000 people here, right? But bringing people together, somebody way over here and somebody way over here that might otherwise never be in a relationship. I don't know. I'm a bridge person. I had an opportunity to see that in a strange way this week. I was doing some work for the Christian pastors of the city, helping them connect to the outreach ministries of the city. The CPA, the Christian Pastor Association, doesn't really have any relationship ongoing with the local outreach ministries, Gainesville Community Ministries and Fire of God Ministries and Arbor House and others in town. And so here I was finding myself connecting these two entities. So I was visiting with somebody from another church, and I walked into the community ministries downtown, Gainesville Community Ministries, a guy named Michael Wright. Michael and I had met about 4.5 years ago. And I learned a little bit about his ministry. And as Michael began to explain to us all the things they're doing at Gainesville Community Ministries, he said, and Alex, you had a part to play in this. I'm like, I haven't talked to you in 4 years. How did I have any? He says, you sent a young man down here to talk to me about 3 years ago. And between him and I talking and his passion and him helping me develop this program, we have built this STEP program to help people go from a place of dependency where you're coming every month asking for food, asking for assistance with electricity, to how to become a place of independency where you can pay your own bills and have your own job and care for things. And God had used me to bring those two people together. I don't say that to toot my horn. I just say that to show you that as we begin to really to articulate our own unique calling, then God begins to reveal to us why He's made us the way He has, the gifts He's given us. And ministry goes from being generic. Being a part of a church goes from generic to specific. Now, real quickly before I close, Paul says here in Romans 12 that we are to remember that we are members of a body, that we don't have the same function, and that therefore we must be interdependent upon each other. It takes a lot of humility to admit what we do best and what we don't do so well. See, I can't even say it. Well, we do bad, right? But the neat thing about the body of Christ is that God has given us all different gifts. He's given us all unique callings. He's made us all unique personalities, and He's brought us together to be complementary partners in ministry. Now think about how exciting it would be. Maybe there's somebody in this room that whatever the calling, the passion of your heart is, maybe you don't even know it. Maybe it's been stomped on before and you even are afraid to admit what your passion and calling is. But I bet you there is somebody else, maybe even in this room, that has that same calling. And I would be willing to bet if that's true that they've got a certain personality and certain spiritual gifts and you've got certain other personality and spiritual gifts, that God wants to use to accomplish something. What if we as a body really became intentional about talking about, hey, what's your personality type? What's your spiritual gifts? What is your passion? What's the calling in your life? And where does that maybe fit? And who might else we know that wants to see that accomplished? Some of us are fortunate in this body. I learned that through the vestry retreat. Some of us get to do our passion calling for a living. That's me. I'm lucky in that way. Paul wasn't. He had to be a tent maker. Some of us have to earn a living in one place and then do our ministry other ways. Both are acceptable. Both are good and pleasing ways. But what is this calling? What gifts are you given? Why has God chosen you? And then who is He putting around you to help you fulfill that calling? It's a 10,000-foot examination of spiritual gifts. But I want you to get perspective on it. We're not just going to help you identify your spiritual gifts and leave you. We want to give opportunity in this body and outside this body for people to learn those gifts, to be comfortable with who they are person-wise, and then to begin to pursue that unique calling God's given. Paul says we need each other. No Lone Ranger Christians. No Lone Ranger callings. But together, with differing gifts and differing members, we accomplish so much more. Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, we as a church, oftentimes we stumble through. We really don't give each other permission to explore and to learn. Father, I thank You that You have put a multitude of personalities in this room, Lord, and that You have placed in them a multitude of spiritual gifts. And Lord, there is undoubtedly, Lord, many, many visions and passions and callings, Lord. And Lord, we would pray that as we move forward as a body, that You might teach us, Lord, to learn about our gifts and to use them in this body to fulfill Your calling. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.